W 1590 AM Denmark, W250 CV Green Bay, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Andy Field. He calls it political persecution and election interference at the highest level in history. That's a reaction from former President Trump on news that a Manhattan grand jury has voted to indict him. More from ABC's Karen Travers.
Truly historic, and it of course comes as former President Donald Trump is once again running for the White House. He is a candidate right now trying to run to get back into the White House. He had a campaign-style rally over the weekend and talked about the multiple investigations, including the one that the district attorney in New York was doing. And really firing back, he is not shying away from all of this. He says that this district attorney was investigating him for something that he says is not a crime.
Sources say the former president's expected to surrender early next week. Gwyneth Paltrow has won her court battle over a 2016 ski collision at a Utah resort, a jury finding the star was not at fault for the crash. This is ABC News. The House has passed a Republican energy package that would slash environmental regulations, expand oil and gas drilling on public land, and repeal portions of the Inflation Reduction Act. In honor of baseball's opening day, a look at which stadiums are the best.
After analyzing each of the 30 MLB ballparks and ranking them based on parking, average ticket cost, food, beverage, the overall atmosphere, and fan feedback, the website NJBet says it has determined, based on a 100-point scale, that the best ballpark in the U.S. is Petco Park in San Diego, followed by Coors Field in Denver and Oracle Park in San Francisco, all fan-friendly, newer parks that are right downtown, walking distance from offices, bars, and restaurants around. At the bottom of the list, Ring Central Stadium in Oakland. Alex Stone, ABC News.
A Washington State man, who authorities say made more than 20 swatting calls, is now facing a number of felony counts. Andy Field, ABC News.
For Civic Media News, I'm Terry Bell. Here's what you need to know. The cost of Wisconsin State Supreme Court race is now three times the previous national record. A review by WisPolitics.com finds spending on the race adding up to about $45 million. Political insiders say the real price is probably even higher when you figure in online and social media ads that aren't reported to the state and are tough to track. There's an arrest in the case of an anti-abortion group office bombing in Madison last year. Nobody was hurt, but there was a lot of damage. The federal prosecutor's office says a 29-year-old Madison man was arrested at the airport in Boston Tuesday. He was planning to fly to Guatemala. In sports, it's baseball's opening day. The Brewers play the Cubs in Chicago this afternoon. Tonight, the Bucks host Boston in a game with big playoff seeding implications. I'm Terry Bell, and this is Civic Media News.
The spring election is Tuesday, April 4th. It's being called one of the most important in the country, with candidates for one state Supreme Court seat on the ballot.
Vote. Then tune to your local Civic Media radio station for coverage you won't find anywhere else.
It kicks off at 7 p.m. with a special As Goes Wisconsin.
Then at 8, News Director Terry Bell has results with reporters checking in from around the state.
Election coverage live Tuesday, April 4th, starting at 7 on your local Civic Media radio station, streaming on the Civic Media app.
VA has a new life insurance program for veterans with service-connected disabilities called Veterans Affairs Life Insurance, or VA Life. VA Life benefits include up to $40,000 in coverage, no medical questions to enroll, and no time limit to apply if you are age 80 or under. Veterans can apply, receive an instant decision, and manage their policy online. Learn more about VA Life or apply online by visiting va.gov/life-insurance. Protect those who matter most with VA Life Insurance.
This is the story of a very special woman. Just a few knew about her superpowers. In a matter of seconds, she turned herself into a great mathematician. She masqueraded as a regular person at work, but as a superhero at home. Everyone knows her as Gabriella. I still call her Mom.
Your hero needs you now, and AARP is here to help. Find the care guides you need to help, complete with tips and resources, at aarp.org/caregiving. Brought to you by AARP and the Ad Council.
Hey, son, how are you feeling? I'm fine, Pops.
What's on your mind?
I can't explain it.
When your kid can't find the language, find the lyrics. Start a conversation at soundedouttogether.org. Brought to you by Ed Council and Pivotal Ventures.
You know him as the nose tackle for the green and gold.
1993 to 1999, and again 2001 to 2003.
125 games, 292 tackles, 7 sacks, and a Super Bowl ring. But there's more to life than stats, and there's more to life than football.
You're about to find out.
Under the Helmet with the Gravedigger, featuring Packers legend Gilbert Brown and Earl Ingram.
Saturday and Sunday at 1 on Civic Media and the Civic Media app.
Moving Day, a walk for Parkinson's, is happening around the country. Together we can unite in the fight against Parkinson's disease in a safe but exciting and fun way. So let's get moving. Join the Parkinson's Foundation to learn more and register at movingdaywalk.org.
blog.com. There's a whole bunch there. I'm Brad Friedman.
And I'm Desi Doyen.
And this has been your Green News Report.
Can you hear the death knell toll for old King Cole?
It's time for the Rick Smith Show. Now, here is the voice of the working class, Rick Smith.
And welcome, brothers, sisters, working class heroes. This is the Rick Smith Show. Thanks so much for being here today on the big program. Lots to get to, lots to talk about. I remember this day, 1981. I was in eighth grade sitting in Mr. Petrus's history class when he announced that Ronald Reagan had been shot. We found out later that day that it was some crazy guy who wanted to get the attention of an actress. But it was a day that has stuck in my memory. It's a day that I remember, you know, 42 years ago. I remember where I was, what I was doing. Well, today, 42 years later, probably in 42 years, I'm going to remember where I was in this moment when I heard that Donald Trump had been indicted. Or in his words, indicated. Which, you gotta go there. That's right. What we know, it's being reported that he's going to be indicted. His lawyers have already said, yep, it's going to happen. It's just a matter of rolling out the details. There'll probably be more, but he's been indicated. He's indicated that he's been indicted. Let's go that way. Reports are he was shocked. Stunned by it, according to those around him, which is why he didn't really give a response other than going to the Truth Social so that he could go and truth himself. And understand, the reason they chose that name, Truth Social, is so that they could lie and have people say that it's the truth. But he raged in his truth. These thugs and radical left monsters have just indicted the 45th president of the United States of America. He meant indicted. And the leading Republican candidate by far for the 2024 nomination for president. This is an attack on our country, the likes of which has never been seen before. It is likewise a continuing attack on our once free and fair elections. Had to get the wine in there. The U.S. is now a third world nation and a nation in serious decline. So sad. And what's sad is, you know, this guy has always been this kind of, and again, most of that was in capital letters. So he was really shouting. And I did the best I could do to get that shout out there because I wanted the sense of the anger and the shock. Now, he predicted it was going to be a couple of Tuesdays ago. I guess he got the T right because it's on a Thursday. And, you know, good. This is going to be interesting to see. Now, there are a bunch of people, you know, lock him up. I'm telling you right now, he's not going to jail. I don't see any jail time in this. But, hey, some of the other stuff, I don't know. But for this, a fine, you know, slap on the wrist, you know, don't pay off any more porn stars with hush money kind of thing. What's interesting is they are going back and looking at other hush money that he's paid to Playboy bunnies that he had a much longer relationship and, you know, a much longer cheating affair with. So that could be coming along, but we'll see. Now, here's the thing. The bottom line in this, and I know my right-wing friends losing their minds. Oh, my God. You know what I find hysterical? I got to tell you. I was surfing the Twitters today and looking for specific folks like Don Jr. and you know, specific people who have Snowflake or no safe space, or I drink the tears of libs, you know, any of those kind of MAGA frames. I was looking for their bios and to see the whine coming out of them today, and the crying and the "this is unfair." Here's the reality, and this is where I come down on this. The president is like anybody else. If you've committed a crime, you should be held accountable. For me, this is the bottom line. While I think this might be stupid, okay, yeah, you paid off a porn star. We shouldn't be talking. I don't care about his sex life. I don't want to hear about the mushroom. I want to know none of this. But somebody did go to jail for this, Michael Cohen. And you know, the person who was responsible, you know, maybe should as well. In this country, if you commit a crime, you should be held accountable. Indictments are done by we the people, a group of our peers go and look at the evidence and choose an indictment. Don't think that's why this has taken so incredibly long. And these everyday folks, people like you and me, went into a room and reportedly they have decided that a crime was committed. And they have chose to indict him. And again, he will have his day in court. And listening to, you know, some of these, you know, this is worse than third world countries. This is worse than Russia. This is worse than China. No, he's going to have his day in court. He's going to be able to defend himself. And trust me, he will have the best legal representation that will be willing to not be paid. Here's the thing. What we understand at this moment, they haven't officially rolled out the indictment, so we don't know the exact charges, but what we're being told at this moment is because, look, he cooked the books. He cooked the accounting books to cover up the fact that he paid hush money to a porn star because it was going to make him look bad in the election. Now, personally, I got to tell you, I don't know that that's completely accurate looking backwards because I don't think it would have mattered. I think the folks who were, you know, the dyed-in-the-wool, bought the hat, don't care. But he did break the law. If this is what, if they can prove he did this, and look, you know, Michael Cohen went to jail, said he did it, this is what should happen. From what I understand, fairly strong, substantial evidence, strong case. This is where it should go. If it were you or me or anyone else, we'd be going to jail. What I find interesting are all of the Republican lawmakers who are rallying around him refusing to say that he should be held accountable. You know, basically, no, this is a witch hunt. You know, that kind of ridiculousness. And I said yesterday, I think Trump was masterful in coming out and saying, on Tuesday, they're going to come and indict me, and setting the time frame for himself, raising the expectations, pushing the district attorney to making the move faster. So yesterday when they said they're going, you know, the jury's going away for a month, yeah, I'm like, oh, okay, well, this is them going, we got more work, more I's to dot and more T's to cross. Turns out they just wanted to get everybody out of Dodge before the insanity ensued. So for me, gonna be interesting to see where this goes, because again, we're in this spot where are we a country of laws that everyone is accountable to? For me, that's the bottom line in this. And again, the amazing thing about our system is you will have your day in court. Now, he's, like I said, he is going to have the best legal defense team that money, well, if he decides to pay them, can buy. What I find interesting is how they responded. Now, this is kind of setting the tone for the 2024 election, because even if he's indicted everywhere, even if it comes in Georgia, if, you know, D.C. does it over January 6th, you know, go around the globe. If all these places are indicting him, he's still running, and he's still the front runner by far. I found his releasing a made for social media video to be very interesting, in that he didn't go to reporters. He didn't. This was all prepackaged. This was, you know, again, you know, whining and complaining and you know, grievance stuff. But I think this next election cycle is going to be him doing a lot of this stuff, because I do believe he's getting older. He's diminishing in his ability to do what he's done in the past. If you watch him, a lot of times he's struggling to get through sentences, and it's going to get worse as the attacks come. Because I got to wonder, you know, in the media culture, how many people are just going to, you know, just throw softballs at him, and how much more attack is going to come. This is not going to go away for him. It's only going to get worse. The floodgates will now open once the first official indictment happens. And as I said, I think, you know, tomorrow we should see something. And then, you know, Georgia could come down the road. You know, the folks in D.C., the Department of Justice could be coming out with, you know, with the classified document stuff, or with, the January 6th stuff they're investigating. Lots of problems. Now, again, as I said the other day, it's hard to win one of these cases, let alone 2, 3, 4, 5, and then decide you're going to run for president. That's the interesting part for me. But I'm a little surprised, I'll be honest, a little shocked, but this had to happen. Curious your thoughts. Email me, rick@thericksmithshow.com. Should he be indicted? Does this rise to the level of a crime in your thought process? Or is he just like anybody else? You break the law, you're held accountable. I want to hear your thoughts. Email me, rick@thericksmithshow.com. I'm going to take a quick break. Right back after this. Stick around.
We are AFGE, the American Federation of Government Employees. We represent 700,000 federal and D.C. government workers who are the vital threads of the fabric of American life. We support our nation's military. We take care of our nation's veterans. We protect our nation's borders. We respond to our nation's crises and natural disasters. We provide services to our nation's seniors. The American Federation of Government Employees. We work for America.
The phone lines are open. Give Rick a call at 1-866-416-RICK. That's 1-866-416-7425.
We are AFGE, the American Federation of Government Employees. We represent 700,000 federal and D.C. government workers who are the vital threads of the fabric of American life. We support our nation's military. We take care of our nation's veterans. We protect our nation's borders. We respond to our nation's crises and natural disasters. We provide services to our nation's seniors. The American Federation of Government Employees. We work for America.
Welcome back to the Rick Smith Show. Now, here is Rick Smith.
So I got to tell you, I'm wondering, will Trump surrender? can you imagine, you know, him surrendering? I mean, that's not a word that he wants to have next to his name. And I got to wonder what kind of spin they're going to put on it, or if he's going to try and fight it from Florida. Say, no, we will not go, and force Ron DeSantis to either, you know, stand by his word that he's not going to extradite him, or actually, wouldn't that be hysterical? the governor of Florida, who wants to run for president, extraditing the guy who's beating the tar out of him in the polls, sending him off to be indicted or to be charged. That would be, well, it'd be hysterical. Bad situation all around for our country. To have someone like this who has been president, who may be again, but it's where we are. And the thing is, you know, what the heck? We've got a president who's criming. The American people believe criming is around every corner. In fact, Gallup just came out with a poll and said that it's a record high number of people who believe that local crime is worse. They write Americans are more likely now than at any time over the past five decades to say that there is more crime in their local area than there was a year ago. The 56% of adults who report an increase in crime where they live marks a 5 percentage point uptick since last year, and it's the highest since 1972. And you go, wait a second, that's not reality. Oh, but I know it's not reality. It's just what we hear every day on the F channel and the right wing outrage machine, that around every corner there's you know, MS-13 coming to get you, and robbing thieves of marauders, emptying stores out, and yeah, this stuff happens. Not at the incredible amounts that we're led to believe or told to believe. But this is what happens when you have a crazy media structure that just wants attention. That idea, if it bleeds, it leads. Maybe we should be rethinking this. And look, you know, I've been watching the coverage of the most recent shooting, and there'll be another one and another and another and another, because as our Republican friends have said, they're not going to fix it. There's nothing going to happen. And they've admitted it. And there's a part of me that goes, I respect that. I respect honesty. I respect when you come out and say, you know what? Yeah, it's terrible. A couple of kids got killed. Those 3 9-year-olds are never going to see 10. Yeah, I get that. That's the price of freedom. And we're not going to do anything about it. Now, interestingly enough, thanks to Elon Musk and Twitter and the way they've screwed up the algorithms and just put all of the craziest of crazy people on my timeline, that all I am inundated with was right-wing drivel, I came across a tweet by this guy, John Rich. Evidently, big-name country singer, evidently big right-winger. He tweeted out, And this is interesting. This is an interesting thing for me. He tweeted out, I wish politicians had the same level of security as school children. And my mind went into this place of saying, you know, what he's saying here is that nothing's going to change until the slaughtered children of these events are being buried by wealthy, influential people, by our politicians, by the elites. What he's saying is your kids, my kids, our kids don't matter. They're not worth protecting. They're not worth enough to protect. And that we have to wait until someone of matter has to bury their children. And it's just, again, one of these things where I've been saying, understand, every one of these shootings, every time we see one of these shootings, what happens? It's a cycle. There's a little bit of outrage. There's some thoughts and prayers. There's politicians who, we wish we could do something. There are Democrats who propose all kind of legislation. They say, hey, we need to do this. We need to do things. And the gun manufacturers make nothing but money. The campaign donations flow. And Republicans go to the state legislatures and expand the right of people to carry guns because more guns are going to make us safer. That's the theory. And you look at the fact that since 2020, 9 more states have expanded carry access without permits. No permit, whatever you want. There are now 25 states in this country where you can carry a gun anywhere you want. No permit necessary. And somehow this is going to make us safer. And in fact, there was an argument in Congress today between Jamal Bowman, a Democrat, and Thomas Massey, a gun fetish Republican. He's one of the guys with the big guns on the Christmas card with the kids, because all the kids got to have guns too. And they're going back and forth on, you know, kids are dying in schools, and and Massey said something pretty amazing. He goes, you know, in a school where a teacher has a gun, there have been no children killed. And my mind immediately went to Parkland, where there was a trained law enforcement officer on the site. And he did nothing because he's got a little pea shooter in his pocket. He's outgunned. Seriously outgunned. But Massey's not wrong, because we haven't given all the teachers guns. So, you know, in the small percentage of places where that's happened, the odds are well in his favor. But in the places where these shootings have happened and guns have been present, people still died. And more than that had to. This is, again, another one of those moments where I'm arguing that, you know, we're not going to go and take everybody's gun. That's never going to happen. And nobody's really proposing that. Maybe one or two extremists on social media that you go, see, look, there's some idiot over here saying something that's never going to happen. But there are ways to give people at least a fighting chance. Background checks work. Limiting the magazine capacity helps. But here again, you've got, you know, more Republican states, Kentucky, Ohio, Nebraska, Texas, Virginia. All of these states have gone and either limited gun-free zones, removed background checks, or rolled back red flag laws. Missouri last year, enacted a measure that made it illegal for local law enforcement to cooperate with federal authorities when doing any gun investigations. So when the ATF comes in, local policemen have to obstruct. I mean, it's crazy. It's crazy the place that we're in. And what's going to have to happen is eventually, and maybe John Rich is right. Maybe in his way of pointing the finger at people in Congress, maybe he's right. Maybe it's going to take a notable to have a tragedy. And I'm not advocating for that. It would be horrible. I want no one to have to bury a child. But maybe he's on to something. You know, maybe he's not wrong. Maybe our elected officials and the power elite in this country don't care about, they don't care about working people. They don't care about our kids. There are things we should be and could be doing, but we're not, because of one special interest or another. And this is where my frustration lies. Now, I see Gavin Newsom, the governor of California. He has launched a new political action organization that's going to go, he's going to have Democrats go into red states. And oh my gosh, it's like he's been reading my mind for the last 18 years. And, you know, it's like he paid attention to our Working Class Heroes radio tour last year up until the election. That you've got to go into places where working people are. You got to go into rural communities and talk to people so that they're not afraid of you, so that they see you, they get to know who you are, and know you're not the boogeyman that the NRA and the Republican Party keeps painting, saying rational people who want to do decent things. Have those conversations, have those tough arguments, have a beer and yell at each other, and then walk away from each other. This is where we're struggling as a country. I'm old enough to remember those bar arguments, and those are some of the best times I can remember, because they're heated, spirited discussions where people are honest. And when you can walk away and go, okay, well, you know, I agree with this, I don't agree with whatever, that's great. Problem is, we're in a moment right now where everyone packing heat, well, you don't agree with me, somebody's got to go. That's unhealthy for a society. And look, for the people on the outside, the Chinese, the Russians, the Iranians, the North Koreans, whoever else, all the people on these social media sites who are spewing the most outrageous stuff, they're just stoking the fire, trying to get us even more riled up, even more pitted against each other. So the fact that we're going to have a guy who I think is going to run for president, getting out there and going into places and talking to people that don't agree with him and defending his position and sharing ideas. Because here's the thing. I've been saying this for years. Progressive policies are extraordinarily popular across the spectrum. Democrat, Republican, Independent, blue, green, red, purple, doesn't matter. Progressive policies are popular. Progressives are not. But the policies are spot on. ensuring that people have access to health care, ensuring that education is funded and every kid has a chance, ensuring that people have good jobs with good wages. These are popular ideas and popular policies. You got to get people out there pushing for it. Oh, I don't know, maybe leaving a planet worth inheriting for our children and grandchildren. These are policies that are wildly popular, as long as we take the names off of them. The Affordable Care Act, much, much more popular than that dreaded Obamacare, even though they're the exact same thing. I want to hear your thoughts. Email me, Rick at theRickSmithShow.com. I'm Rick Smith, and this is Labor History in Two. On this day in labor history, the year was 1870. That was the day the 15th Amendment to the U.S. Constitution was adopted. It was the third of the Reconstruction Amendments. It prohibited voting restrictions on the basis of race, color, or previous condition of servitude. Premier historian Eric Foner states that the Reconstruction Amendments reflected, quote, a newly empowered national state and the idea of a national citizenry enjoying equality before the law. These legal changes also arose from the militant demands for equal rights from former slaves themselves. The bulk of southern states refused to ratify, but then capitulated. Interestingly, New York sought and failed to revoke its earlier ratification. The amendment split the women's suffrage movement for its failure to codify women's voting rights. Some radical Republicans also abstained on the basis that it did not also prohibit poll taxes and literacy tests. Immediately, the 15th Amendment came under attack. The Ku Klux Klan terrorized black voters and Reconstruction governments for years. One of the most extreme examples was the 1873 Colfax Massacre. After the Compromise of 1877, President Rutherford B. Hayes refused to enforce civil rights protections. The rise of discriminatory Jim Crow laws effectively disenfranchised Southern blacks for nearly a century. Congress would finally enforce the 15th Amendment fully through the landmark Voting Rights Act of 1965. However, the act has come under attack most recently, as in the 2013 case, Shelby v. Holder. Jurisdictions with histories of voter restrictions no longer have to obtain preclearance before implementing changes to voting laws and practices. Over 150 years after the end of the Civil War, African Americans are still fighting to protect their right to vote. Labor History in Two, brought to you by the Illinois Labor History Society and The Rick Smith Show.
It's always useful in a moment of national urgency to have level-headed experts explain what's happening. Experts like extremist right-wing politicos. For example, when two high-flying banks crashed this month, these screechers flock to blame it all on their latest ideological bugaboo, wokeness. Their loopy contention is that everything bad in our country is happening because such institutions as schools, libraries, corporations, and even banks are responding to America's long history of systemic inequality by pursuing politically correct policies, promoting liberal values like fairness, equality, and diversity. Hello, oppression of the many by the few is in fact a reality in America. Two, pursuit of those liberal values is what makes America historically important. And banks? You're seriously asserting that high finance is now motivated by a liberal share-the-wealth mentality? Yes, indeed, squawk the self-proclaimed knowledgeable ones, singling out the recently failed Silicon Valley Bank. They were among the most woke banks, moaned a GOP lawmaker who specializes in conspiracy theories. Governor Ron DeSantis piled on, barking that this bank, they're so concerned with diversity and all kinds of stuff. Then Donald Trump offered his usual deep assessment, lecturing that the collapse is, quote, what happens when you push leftist woke ideology. Bovine excrement. As has now been documented, these banks were not woke, but greedy, incompetent, and reckless. Worse, our bank regulators have been intentionally put to sleep by a 2018 law that specifically let such banks escape careful public supervision. Guess what? Trump was the one who initiated this disastrous regulatory exemption. Ron DeSantis cheered and voted for it, and the CEO of Silicon Valley Bank led the lobbying campaign to ram it into law. This is Jim Hightower saying, these politicos and profiteers crashed the bank, and now they're trying to put us to sleep with their hokey anti-woke PR stunt.
Welcome back to the Rick Smith Show. Now, here is Rick Smith.
So, the shaman... this, what's his name, Jacob Chansley, the shaman, the January 6th shaman, evidently the shaman, the QAnon shaman, has gotten an early release from prison 14 months early. He's going to be in a halfway house for a while, but 14 months early, I'm like, I don't know. I think these guys should have to do every day. And then and extra days for bad behavior. Just a thought. But this is, as has always been told to me, if you have to go to prison, go to federal prison. They're usually a little bit easier. Anyway, here to share some thoughts on the big news of the day. The shaman getting out early. I've asked our good friend Sarah Burris to come talk with us. Sarah's a reporter at Raw Story. RawStory.com is the website. Sarah, thanks for taking time for us.
If you're on the radio and you can't see me, I've got flags stuck in my hair and I'm waving one. Because today,
all America.
Today is the day that we celebrate justice. Despite the fact that the Q shaman was allowed to get out early, the dude still is going to be under house arrest and probation for a very, very, very long time. And despite all of the crazy stuff that he did in the Capitol, he did not beat up any cops.
Right.
Whereas some of the other folks did. And so there is this sort of like weird line between, violence in federal prison, violent offenders versus not. There's that.
There was an indictment. I know there's an indictment reportedly. We should find out more in the coming days. But I love the typos of the Donald on the truth. He was indicated.
He was indicated. Oh my gosh!
Some Covfefe and hamburgers.
I don't mean to giggle so much, but it really is. It is the cherry on top.
I've made typos before, and it is what it is. But when you're at that level, when you are when everybody's looking at it, when news organizations are picking it up, you kind of might want to proofread it. I mean, look, I've been guilty numerous times of a typo. Like just the other day, I put a K instead of an L in the word should, and somebody corrected me and wanted me to said you're stupid. You need a dictionary, and she misspelled your.
Oh, that's brilliant. That's lovely. I get really, really snotty comments from people in our email. And so now I've just started lashing out at them. And I find out who they are, where they live. That freaks them out. Oh. Right. It's nothing scarier than somebody knowing who you are. There's that piece of it. Yes, you should probably have a staffer on hand to proofread your statement. But I think regardless, I mean, that is the perfect statement for Donald Trump.
Yeah.
It really is. It of is. All of the things that he could say, that and Covfefe would yep. be.
No, but here's the thing. Having watched him for so many years, there's part of me that says he did that on purpose. So we'd spend the last 3 minutes joking about it and not talking about him actually being indicted. There's part of me that thinks he is such a media mastermind that he throws this stuff out to see who will just who will go after it. It's too perfect for the moment.
I don't think I just don't think that he's smart enough. I don't think he's that crafty enough. I think he's probably crafty when he needs to be, but on a night like this when he's probably having heart palpitations and thinking about, oh my God, what's it going to look like when I have to march into the police station and stand in front of that camera and
when he has to surrender
in front of the judge. Yeah. I mean, like that has got to be humbling, let's say, because that will be a really, truly humiliating moment for him. And he's never experienced something like that.
So as I said earlier, I wonder how he's going to spin the surrender, because he has to surrender. I mean, clearly he's not going to have them come, handcuff him, throw him to the ground and drag him in. He's going to show up if he has to. But I wonder the spin that's going to come out. What kind of misspelled word will come out of surrender? I've sacrificed myself for the good of the movement. You know, something like that.
Right. You know, that isn't, like, I'm trying to figure out too, like, how do you spin that? How do you spin, well, you know, I think he'll probably go into this and just be like, I'm going to fight this, you know, I'm fighting it for all of us, yep. You know, that kind of crap. I think he probably won't focus on the surrender. What would be really nice is, you remember in The Wizard of Oz, whenever the witch wrote "Surrender, Dorothy" in the sky, I think it'd be awesome if a sky writer like did that over the courthouse. But
now, what I did find interesting are the number of, you know, the people who were, you know, for years, you know, chanting "lock her up" and, you know, these snowflakes with their safe spaces and "F your feelings" and all those people having a complete and total meltdown. One of those being the teary-eyed Don Jr. When he had his little meltdown, you know, whining about, this is worse than Pol Pot, worse than Mao. And I'm going, clearly you show your ignorance, because there would have been no indictment. They would have just murdered him, because that's what happened there, Jr.
Yeah, I mean, that's the sad thing about Junior not being exactly the brightest bulb in the tanning bed, is that he doesn't actually know who these people are or why they were infamous. And the fact that they were infamous really comes from the millions of people that they killed, the genocide, the you know, horrific country that they oversaw, and the idea of somebody being indicted for a porn star hush money payment is not genocide. Like, I understand you want to go hyperbole, and that is the true mark of a Trump, is just waving that hyperbole flag.
Yeah.
This is really just not an appropriate one.
Yeah. Now, Ivanka, evidently, haven't heard much from her, have we?
No, she's having most of her life being about being a mom and a wife right now.
She's June
having
Cleaver.
Brunches.
She's June Cleaver.
Yeah, and that's been pretty funny, is that there are some folks that say that they are in the social scene in Florida, and that they know a lot about Ivanka, and that she doesn't really want to have anything to do with her dad.
Like, oh my God.
Anymore. Like, I know. That's so...
Like, low-key, no cap?
Like, for real. Like, totes for real. And that doesn't really surprise me much, because her husband has several billions of dollars that he got from a whole bunch of other sketchy countries to make their life happier. So, you know, they basically got all they wanted out of Donald Trump.
Yeah, no, they're going to be just fine.
Yeah, they're going to be fine until Jared hacks off one of
one of the princes of Saudi Arabia, and they just... You know, they bring him into an embassy and they chop him into pieces and carry him out in duffel bags. You mean like that?
Yeah, pretty much.
Now, here's the thing. I mean, you had Trump, who has indicated that there's going to be violence. If you've read some of the past tweets, do you see in this moment, you know, once the MAGA world, you know, the F your feelings people and the no safe space people, when they finally grasp what's going on, do you think there's going to be violence?
You know, it's really hard to know, because, I mean, my inclination is to assume that they're going to flock to New York and that this is going to be a big thing and it'll be a circus and an S show for radio friendly people. And I'm not sure if that will actually happen. I think it's going to go half one way or the other, right? I think the chances are, if they're brave enough to go to New York, people don't screw around in New York. Like, the cops really don't. Like, yeah. These people have to deal with protests at the UN. I mean, like, this has gone on for a very long time in New York.
Yeah, they're not a kettle people.
Yeah, this is not really one of those places that you want to, you know, get in trouble. And
if you think D.C. jail is bad, go to Rikers.
Yeah. Seriously. But so it makes me wonder, like, is this going to be some big hoedown that they're going to have down in Palm Beach surrounding Mar-a-Lago? But if Donald Trump's not there, then what's the point of them being there for him?
Yeah. Now, the question that my mind keeps coming to, you know, yesterday we talked about the fact that the grand jury was going to go away for a month. So my mind goes to this place of, you know, I guess we were duped again. They're going back to cross their T's and dot their I's, only to find out, you know, today that there's an indictment coming. Should the grand jury be worried? Should prosecutors be worried, you think, for the MAGA folks who, you know, I guess, you know, Alvin Bragg had, you know, white powder sent to his office with a note that, you know, someone's going to kill him. Should we expect more of that in the coming days and weeks?
Probably. That is the one thing that the NYPD has already said. They've increased the amount of security at the courthouse. I think it's good that obviously grand juries are secret. So hopefully the folks who are on the break for Passover, Easter, spring break, whatever, can feel like they're safe. I do think it's funny because there was this very strange world of politics where everybody was like, or Donald Trump was like, oh, I'm going to be arrested on Tuesday. And then everybody was like, oh my God, he's going to be arrested on Tuesday. Like, we just sort of believed what he was saying. And then you heard that the grand jury was dealing with some other stuff. Yeah. And then you heard that they're going to go on a break that's been scheduled for a really long time. And so folks sort of made up this idea of, oh my God, like, we've been screwed here. And the reality is they were just sort of like doing their thing. And, you know, I think it was smart to sort of step back for a minute when a bunch of Trumpers showed up and he tried to, you know, turn it into a circus and a big thing in New York. I think it made sense to kind of sit back for a minute.
No, I agree.
And then once those people went home, then announce it.
See, like, I didn't jump on that he's going to be indicted right away. I went on, he's a genius for coming out and setting the terms, because now he's taking control and pushing the DA and really, you know, taking control of the situation, because he knows he's going to get indicted at some point, but he's trying to win the message. And for a short period of time, he did. But the indicated indictment came or is coming.
Yeah. I mean, does it really matter if you win the message if you're wearing orange at Rikers?
He's never going to jail. He's never wearing orange.
Remember that time you said he was never going to be indicted? And I was like, no, no.
I didn't say never. There's indicted. Gonna be... He's going to be indicted on something. He's never going to jail. I will say that. We can mark that, write that down on the calendar. He's never going to jail.
And he's definitely going to be indicated.
He's indicated. There you go. You listen to the Rick Smith Show. We're here with Sarah Burris. Sarah's a reporter at Raw Story. RawStory.com, the website, if you want to get the outstanding information that they come out with and some of her reports. I got to get your thoughts on Mike Pence now, because, you know, evidently, you know, there are more. This hush money thing is one very small piece of Trump's legal headaches. And look, he's going to get hit from every side, the January 6th stuff, the classified document stuff, the perfect phone calls in Georgia. You know, all this stuff is going, the E.G. Carroll case, all this stuff coming all at once. And now Pence evidently is going to have to testify, which I guess is groundbreaking.
Yeah, I don't understand why it's necessarily groundbreaking. I think Pence tried really hard to get out of it, but the idea of what he was trying to do didn't really make a lot of sense. And even when the judge came out and was just like, yeah, no, good try, but no. Then he tried saying, well, you know, the judge saw it our way, so we're just going to be working on what this means for the future. It's like, what it means for the future is you got to go testify the grand jury.
You've got to put your hand. You've got to put your hand on that book you say you believe in. Swear to the person that you swear you believe in, and then you've got to lie.
Yeah, you've got to lie. Or you have to tell the truth in what will probably be a taped deposition.
Yeah.
Or taped testimony. Even if that tape never necessarily makes it to the light of day, like, there's got to be somebody who's in there filming the stuff, or at least recording it, right? Like, I would totally be. I'd be like sliding that thing under the my seat trying to get that recorded. But
did you see the story today? Since you brought that up, did you see the story today that some contractor in Washington got arrested for trying to secretly record the Republican senators in one of their meetings?
No.
Yeah,
I mean.
Because nobody wants another Mitt Romney moment. Nobody in the Republican Party wants a Mitt Romney moment. So they're going to start arresting people for secretly recording their meetings.
I don't know if that's legal because DC is a one-party consent state. So as long as one party knows that they're being recorded, which means the person who's recording it knows, you can't arrest somebody. I mean,
does the Capitol have different laws than the city than the area in DC? I don't know.
They might. I don't know. I know Maryland, Virginia, DC all have that same law. Does the Capitol like exist in this nebulous other state?
It's got its own police department. It's got the Capitol Police. So I don't know. But that's an interesting question. I know Pennsylvania.
We need to find a legal nerd to ask this.
We should, when we get Renato Mariani on the show tomorrow, I will ask Renato some of that. That's right there at the top of the list. But you know, I know Pennsylvania is a two-party consent state. You can't just record me without my knowledge. So there is that. But I'm waiting to see Pence's. I want to see his testimony. And I hope we get to see it because I do think, you know, I was making a joke a little bit. I think he will go in and tell the truth. I think he has to. I don't think Mother will let him otherwise.
Yeah, very true. I wonder if he will hem and haw around it a little bit. I think regardless of what he tries to do, they're really just going to put it to him and be like, no, you have to actually answer this question. And
so if I'm the prosecution, if I'm the person asking the deposition, all women lawyers.
Oh my God, that would be so amazing. Women lawyers with like low cut blouses just to make him very uncomfortable.
We can sweat him.
or like, oh man.
And no mother. No mother.
You could have a drag queen in there. That would just be priceless, right? Oh, that'd be so good. So good.
You're evil.
I know. This is like court fantasy now, like political grand jury fantasizing is what we have here. This is like fan fiction for political nerds.
Wow. No, see, this is the thing. And this is where there's part of me. And this is the last question I got on this. Because, you know, I see that this is for the base, for Trump's base, is going to just feed them the red meat that they want and need to don the red hats and the flags and go out there and buy the merchandise and get out there and march from him because they're going to make him a martyr. How do you, and then of course, Democrats on the other side who have bought the blue hats, they're going to be, you know, on the other side. Is there anyone left in the middle that can be, that will be impressed one way or the other? That can be movable in this moment on this? Or do you think everybody's already in their camps?
I do think everybody's already in their camps. And I think what will make things even worse is if Trump's MAGA people turn to a huge, violent response that tries to intimidate people for arresting Trump for this or charging him for this.
Yeah, I'm worried about April 19th.
Yeah, somebody who grew up in Oklahoma City and experienced the terrorism as a result of the Branch Davidians, you know, what that inspired.
Yep.
I think that's really scary.
Yeah, it is.
And Trump supports this. Trump's people are like promoting this.
Absolutely.
I can't even with these people.
Absolutely. Last thing I got to get from you. Rona McDaniels, the head of the RNC, did she really spend $100,000 on hair and makeup?
I think we're a little bit over 98,000 at this point, and some change. It's funny because I've been waiting to drop this story for a long time. It's something I worked on for like over a month where I looked up every single person that, that did her makeup. I talked to a woman in Michigan who did her makeup, who talked to me a lot about her bone structure and how Rana has to worry about, she always has to be on. She has to be on, Rick, because paparazzi is always around. It's just like being famous in Hollywood.
Really?
That is what Rana's life is like. That's exactly what she said. And it is, the whole thing is sort of funny to me because Republicans spent so much time, Fox News spent so much time complaining about Nancy Pelosi.
Yeah.
Getting her hair done, you know, during the pandemic. And it turns out the week before that, Rana was at getting her hair and makeup done for like $1,700.
Wow.
So it's like, dude, come on. Like,
I don't mean to be mean, but, you know, she should ask for her money back.
You know,
it's not helping.
I hate to be down on another lady. I do think she has really good cheekbones, but she's got to get rid of that filler. Like, there's too much lip filler going on there. Like, I get it. You're older. You want to, like, plump the stuff up, but no, child,
alrighty.
No.
All righty, there you go. As always, good stuff. Appreciate the time, Sarah.
My pleasure. Have an awesome weekend.
You as well, our good friend Sarah Burris. Make sure you check out her work over at Raw Story, rawstory.com, the website. Quick break, right back. Stick around. You listen to The Rick Smith Show. We're working people. Come to talk. I'm Rick Smith, and this is Labor History in Two. On this day in labor history, the year was 1930. That was the day that ground was broken on what would become one of the worst workplace disasters in U.S. history. At least 476 and possibly more than 700 men died from a disease called silicosis. The project was called the Hawk's Nest Tunnel. It was part of a hydroelectric project by the company Union Carbide. The aim was to harness the energy of the New River in West Virginia to power a metals plant. Workers cut through 3 miles of solid rock under the Gauley Mountain to divert water for the project. Most of the workers were black men recruited from the South. Much of the rock they were cutting through had a very high silica content. Despite the fact that the dangers of silica dust were well known, the company ignored standard safety practices. It is safer to drill through high silica content using a wet drill method, which cuts down on the dust. The project manager opted to use dry drilling to save time on the project. They also failed to provide the needed ventilation or respirators for the workers. Men desperate for work during the Great Depression flocked to the project. In all, nearly 5,000 men labored on the tunnel. A congressional subcommittee that investigated the disaster found that the whole driving of the tunnel was begun, continued, and completed with grave and inhumane disregard of all consideration for the health, lives, and future of the employees. For many, work on the Hawk's Tunnel was a death sentence. People with silicosis die a slow, agonizing, suffocating death. The companies involved in the project faced litigation. But in the end, they only paid out $200,000 in damages. Some that were impacted received as little as $30 for their lives.
You're listening to The Rick Smith Show, where working people come to talk.
So the same federal judge that ruled the Affordable Care Act was unconstitutional years ago is now ruling that free preventive care is unconstitutional. Evidently, you know, certain types of free preventative care, including screenings for cancer, depression, diabetes, HIV, according to this judge, Judge Reed O'Connor of the Federal District Court for the Northern District of Texas, nope, can't do it. You know, and this is where you go, you know, why is it our healthcare costs are so way out of whack? You know, why is it that we've got so many problems in our system? And preventative care is a huge part of that. You know, people getting the initial screenings, catching things early, you know, prevented. We used to know this. There was a guy who had a flag with a key on it, not a flag, a kite with a key on it. I think he said, what was it, an ounce of prevention, pound of cure? We used to know this stuff. It was simple back then, I guess. Simpler. But this is one of these moments where you go, these crazy right-wing judges that you know, are put in specifically to destroy any policy that's going to help working people is infuriating. And I know I've got people, we've been trained to anytime we hear the ACA or better, worse yet, Obamacare, that we're supposed to, you know, foam at the mouth and get all upset. I've been getting tons of responses from people saying, look, you know, I'm grateful for the ACA. I wish it was better. I wish they would make things a little bit better. I wish they would tweak things. I wish the subsidies were more generous to help, you know, us afford it. But I'm getting insurance where I was never able to before. My employer doesn't provide it. So I have no options. This is the thing we don't hear enough of. We always hear people whining. You know, the reality is if you ask some, you ask 10 people, do you want something positive or negative? I got to tell you, I think, you know, 60% of them would say I'm negative. But we're in this moment where we can demand better. I think so. And this again, another one of these moments where you go, it's the law of the land that they're still trying to kill. Instead of fixing the problems, and again, as I said before, Republicans are masterful at pointing out problems.
You're listening to the Talk of Green Bay.
WGBW 1590 AM Denmark. W250 CV Green Bay.
And always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC.